Outside Health and Fitness Podcast, episode 114, The Skinny on Sustainable Weight Loss.
The sumo wrestlers wake up, they fast, and they train. So basically, they put their body through a workout from around 9 to 5 o'clock, and then from 5 to midnight, they binge eat. And when I tell these to my patients, they all say, I'm a sumo wrestler. I use a sumo wrestler diet because they wake up, they have their coffee, they get dressed, they go to work, they don't eat breakfast, and they're so busy at work, they might grab a bar at 5 o'clock, and then they get home and said, I didn't eat anything, and then they binge eat, and then they're doing exactly what sumo wrestlers are doing. They're gaining weight.
Welcome to the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. We're getting outside the box, outside our comfort zone, and outside and in shape. If you're bored with the same old fitness routine at the gym and you're ready to try something new, then this is the show for you. We're exploring new and fun ways to get fit on the trail, on the water, on the slopes, and outside.
Hi, this is Steve Stearns from OutsideHealthAndFitness.com. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. If you're new to the show, we like to stay fit and active by having fun outside. We like to ride, slide, run, walk, hike, bike, golf, roll, swim, and ski. If it's fun outside and it keeps us healthy, then we love it. So if you're like us and you want to be healthy, active, and have fun outside, then you found the right place. Have you ever noticed how some people go on those diets and they get some pretty incredible results? I mean, they look great. They look amazing. And then time goes by and you bump into them again and whoa, what happened? They're right back to where they were before and sometimes even bigger. I mean, it happens all the time because fad diets just aren't sustainable. On today's show, you'll get the skinny on sustainable weight loss from Dr. Eddie Fedakoff. You'll discover why fad diets just don't work and how you can lose weight and maintain a healthy lifestyle. And he shares five easy things you can do right now to boost your metabolism and improve your health. Also, Jessica Bailey is back to share a tip on helping you get more from your push-ups in this week's Sassy Girl Exercise Tune-Up.
OutsideHealthAndFitness.com.
So last time I spoke with Dustin from FOGO about the evolution of an idea and how he turned this ordinary flashlight into an outdoor adventure device. This thing has GPS, communication, it has smart features that tell it to automatically dim the light or make the light brighter. It's an incredible thing. It even has future expansion capabilities that make it unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's really cool. Now, if you missed that episode, you may also have missed some of the exclusive articles I sent out last week in the newsletter. You know, the newsletter is great. Every week, I deliver a brief little overview of the latest show, some exclusive outside health and fitness information, articles, resources, all that stuff right to your inbox. I also include a free morning Tabata routine as a thank you for joining the community. This routine is so awesome. In under 10 minutes in the morning, you can rev up your metabolism for the whole day. It's an amazing workout that can really help you transform your body. I know you're going to love it. Head on over to outsidehealthandfitness.com/114 and sign up for the free newsletter right now. Just hit pause. I'll be right here when you get back. So Dr. Eddie Fedakoff is a co-author of the Doctors Clinic 30 program and a member of the American Society of Bariatric Physicians. Dr. Eddie is an expert in the field of nutrition and weight loss. He's worked as a certified personal trainer, nutritionist, and helped his clients lose weight by creating individualized exercise routines and meal plans. As a physician, he is very familiar with the obesity epidemic that's facing this country. Every day, he guides his patients to healthier lifestyle choices, which help prevent disease and improve the overall quality of their lives. So let's get right into my interview with Dr. Eddie. Well, Eddie, I'm psyched to have you on the show. I can't wait to start talking with you about your book and get a better sense of your program and how that works. Welcome to Outside Health and Fitness.
Thank you so much for having me. You have a fantastic website and a fantastic podcast that you offer. So I'm really excited to be here and talk about the message, which is proper health and nutrition for all your listeners.
Well, thank you very much, and we're glad to have you. Can you give us a little bit of a background? Just let us know how you got to where you are and why you became so passionate about helping people with their weight management.
Sure. Actually, I was obese myself as a teenager. I had a younger brother who was always skinny. So I always got picked on and made fun of. And, you know, I didn't have the six pack like my cousins did.
Yeah.
It really didn't matter when I was in Russia. I'm actually from Russia, so it's always cold. So you never take off your shirt. But when I came to America and when I was a child, that kind of affected me. So the only thing that changed was I broke my arm. And after I broke my arm for rehab, I decided to go to the gym. And that's where I really took hold of, you know, working out, proper dieting and losing weight. And then I felt great. And it's just been a journey ever since that. And I was so passionate about it. As soon as I graduated high school, I became a personal trainer at LA Fitness, local LA Fitness, Gold's Gyms around for 4 to 5 years. And even to pursuing a major in exercise science and nutrition, because I thought health was the most important thing. I mean, I got to spend four years learning about, you know, what I put in my body. And then initially went to chiropractic school for me and then decided to go to med school. And now as a physician and finishing up residency in internal medicine, I just realized the importance of, you know, proper nutrition, dieting, because everybody is taking pills. Average person over 14 years old is taking one prescription drug medication in the United States. Anybody over age 60 is taking 10 prescription drugs. So if I can help the epidemic of obesity and weight loss and just kind of share my story and share my perspective, because I feel like it's different. I was a personal trainer. I was a nutritionist. And then now as a physician, I feel like I can give a unique perspective from all three angles, because I was there. I was a trainer motivating them. And then I was a nutritionist writing their meal plan. And now as a physician, I could say, you know, you could do it. And here's how I'm going to help you. A little bit different than most of the other people out there.
You've got it covered from a whole bunch of different angles. What are some of the common misconceptions that you hear from people that, you know, they want to get in good shape and maybe they try some of those fad diets or some of those different things? What are the big misconceptions that they have?
Modern misconception that, you know, people have been on these fad diets, or not even just some fad diets, diet in general, is they have a goal. For example, I'm going to diet because I have to go to a wedding. I'm going to diet because I'm going to spring break. I'm going to diet to get ready for this party. And then they go back to eating their poor habits. So for them, diet is short term. If I can change that mentality and say, don't diet, eat for the rest of your life, eat in moderation, eat stuff that are healthy and that are just behavioral modification changes that they need. And the biggest misconception is they think eating more is bad. They think they're going to gain weight. This might be an interesting story. I don't know if we have time for this, Steve, but sure. I can give you a message that I give to my patients and they're shocked by the end of it. So I relate them to sumo wrestlers. I say sumo wrestlers spend their whole life learning how to become fat and obese because that's very prestigious in their culture and society. So I said, if we study sumo wrestlers, we want to do the opposite, because they're trying to do the opposite from what skinny people are doing. Mm-hmm. And their whole notion is they wake up and they fast. They don't eat or put anything in their body. Now, and they came out with a study in 2013, Steve, that said people that ate breakfast tend to be skinnier than people that didn't. People that didn't eat breakfast were obese and overweight than their counterparts. So the sumo wrestlers wake up, they fast, and they train. So basically, they put their body through a workout from around 9 to 5 o'clock, and then from 5 to midnight, they binge eat. Okay. And when I tell these to my patients, they all say, I'm a sumo wrestler. I use a sumo wrestler diet, because they wake up, they have their coffee, they get dressed, they go to work, they don't eat breakfast, and they're so busy at work, they might grab a bar at 5 o'clock, and then they get home and said, I didn't eat anything. And then they binge eat at night watching TV. And then they're doing exactly what sumo wrestlers are doing. They're gaining weight. When I tell them you have to eat 5 or 6 meals a day, they're all shocked. They say, I can't do that. That's a lot of food. I can't eat every 3 hours. So that's my biggest misconception. Half the people I've gotten to lose weight was just that one simple rule, eat every 3 hours.
That is awesome. I mean, you know, to say to somebody, when you're one of these busy people that gets up in the morning, skips breakfast, goes to work, you grab something really fast, don't even really take a lunch break, you're doing exactly what a sumo wrestler does. You should expect the exact same results.
Exact same results. So the best way, if you're a people watcher, Steve, like I am, you know, I watch skinny people and see what they're doing. So they're always eating. I'm like, you just ate an hour ago and they're always eating. I'm hungry. It's because their metabolism is burning and it's constantly working. And I always tell my patients this. Let's just say you eat 6 meals a day, how you're supposed to. You know, the United States government spent a lot of money making those recommendations. So, and I make the analogy with the car. If you take your car to the shop and it says it requires premium oil, how do they know that? Well, there's a research and development that spent millions of dollars of BMW or Mercedes-Benz that said you need oil change and we need this specific oil change. Same thing with the government. They've put millions of dollars in resources and research study to say you need 6 meals a day. This is the data. And then, you know, UK will have their own recommendations. to make sure it follows the same recommendation, 6 meals a day, Canada. So if you add up all the countries that did the same research, it's probably, I don't know the exact figures, probably close to millions, if not billions of dollars, just to give you one recommendation, eat 6 meals a day.
For a lot of the people that you're working with, that's the toughest thing for them to kind of wrap their head around. What are some of the things that they really struggle to give up? I mean, I know I talk with a lot of people that tell me like soda or things that are very sugary. They just have a really hard time with that. Do you find that that's the case with your clients?
Yes, it's very different. I don't know how people are in the Northeast, but here in the South in Georgia, people love their sweet tea. It's hard to give up sweet tea here.
Yeah.
you work with them. You make them recommendations. Say, okay, you like sweet tea? How about unsweet tea? There's better alternatives out there. I would say the farthest thing to say is probably sugary stuff, unrefined sugars, candy, sweets, and sodas. Those are the hardest things.
Yeah, yeah. It's not about just completely depriving yourself. It's, I mean, sure, if you're going to have a pizza, great. Just make sure you're making a better choice, right?
Exactly. And a lot of people, and that's why I think where these fad diets come in, they come up with this idea and say you could eat all the meat, all the bacon you want, and they cater one subset group of populations, or you need to be vegan, or you need to be meat eater, you need to be this. And they've done research on that. They've done meta-analysis studies where they compared the Zone diet, the Atkins diet, the Paleo diet, the South Beach diet, and at the end result, all of them helped in weight loss short term, but after 6 months, they all gain it back. After 2 years, they gain it back plus body fat percentages. So they don't work. And out of all the meta-analysis studies, the only one that works, it's called the lifestyle modification diet, which is pretty much moderation. So moderation is key. And I know a lot of authors are going to contradict that, but the studies and research is out there. For every research that says you should do this, there's another research paper saying you should do the opposite. So you can pretty much get researcher support either side of the argument.
Right. And really what you want to look for is a long-term solution. You're not looking for, it may seem like a great idea to get that really short, quick fix, but in the long run, you want a lifestyle change.
Exactly. And people are asking me the question, well, I was in my 20s, I was 10 pounds slimmer. I'm going to my high school reunion, and I'm 10 pounds bigger. Why? And I always give them the notion, 3,500 calories is a pound. So every single day, if you're getting extra 10 calories by the end of the year, that's a pound. By the end of 10 years, that's a 10-pound gain. Yep. And if you look at most trends, most every decade will gain 10 pounds, 15 pounds, 20 pounds. And 30 years out, they've gained 30 pounds because every day they're getting extra 5 or 10 calories, and adds up.
And probably less active as they go along as well.
Exactly. Less active. And, in Georgia, there's not that much public transport. Everybody's in their car. So what happens when you eat dinner? You can't walk 2 blocks to get, I guess, pizza or Chinese and then walk back to your apartment. Here, you eat, you get back in your car, you drive home, you park your car, you get inside the house, you sit on your couch. You're not really active. So I think, right. And if the weather's not nice,
even less.
Really not as less active, unless you're a skier or avid sports.
We have that struggle up here in the Northeast. A lot of times, particularly this time of year when it's wintertime, it's really tough to get outdoors when it's, minus 20 or something crazy like that. And we find, a lot of people get cabin fever and just kind of end up sitting around indoors or, like you said, get in your car, drive someplace, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about people, you see this all the time, where somebody makes a tremendous transformation in their body and their weight. And the first person that pops in my mind is Oprah, right? Mm-hmm. So you see she makes this big change and then slowly over time kind of goes back to the way she was before. Is there something psychological that's going on there?
It is actually. That's a great point and great question you actually mentioned. They've done studies for that because they realize these people lost this weight. And then over time, maybe 6 months, a year out, it's hormonal changes. So your ghrelin level is really, really high and is controlling your ravish appetite. And then your leptin levels are actually at an all-time low. So there's some hormonal psychological changes that happens once you lose that weight. Two, once you lose that weight, you're not burning as many calories. So you lowered your basic metabolic rate for the change in diet. Those are the certain factors. And then three, they actually came out with a study. They looked at exercise and they looked at exercise specifically to see if it helps maintain weight loss because people were having the same issue. And what they realized, if you work out 60 minutes a day on most days of the week, it'll help you maintain the weight loss. There's a theory called that's kind of the set point theory. So your hypothalamus gets used to something, and if you keep that weight and you're comfortable with it, your body adjusts. It's kind of somebody with high blood pressure. They have high blood pressure for 20 years. It's 200 over 100, and they're used to the high blood pressure. Their body's adapted. So when you bring it down too low, they'll stroke out. And that's the same concept I feel with weight. If your body's comfortable at a certain weight, give it 6 months to a year to live in that new skin, then it's more likely you're going to keep it. But if you do these fad diets where you lose 30, 40 pounds in 2-3 months, your body hasn't had a chance to kind of sink in yet. The hormonal levels are not there, and you're going to gain it all back. And you see it time after time. And I have to tell you an interesting story. I saw, you know, people who were on the paleo diet and the Atkins diet look great. And I'm like, that is fantastic. I saw them 2 years later, and they're all obese and gain more weight and not healthy. But at one point in time, they were.
Right.
It's not sustainable. You can't live on the Atkins diet for the rest of your life. Not to mention that paleo diet, I think, is the worst diet out there. They have a book out, Paleo, All the Bacon You Can Eat. That is not healthy for you. Forget the weight loss aspect of it. The fact that you're having increased IGF-1s in the meat, which increases your cancer 300 to 400 fold. And just having that and increase your risk for heart disease, increase your risk for stroke, colon cancer, prostate cancer. I mean, you're just having so many risk factors eating that much protein.
Yeah, yeah.
Just have a little bit of protein. But the paleo, I think it's upwards to 60-80% protein on the diet, which is unhealthy for you, of animal products.
You know, it's funny because the paleo diet seems to make a lot of sense. You know, when it's presented, it's kind of like, well, this is the way we ate when we were Paleolithic man, you know. But it's when they take these things to the extreme like that, like, you know, eat bacon at every meal all day long. I mean, that's really where it goes off the rails.
Correct. And then those Paleolithic diets, if you think about it, they didn't live that long.
Yeah.
You know, average person back then, probably 34 years old, and they died. So they weren't living right to 90, 200 years old with the technology we have now. And
yep.
Two, everything was organic and natural there.
Yes.
If I say meat, is it good or bad? Now, if you get grass-fed meat, it's better. Wild meat is better than the hormonal meat. You know what? The paleo, I do have to give them credit. It is still better than the standard American diet. Even with all that protein, it's still better than eating all those unrefined carbs and sugars. And in the paleo, they'd say avoid wheat and some of the main carbohydrates. So if you're comparing it, apples and oranges, is it better than the standard American diet? Most definitely. Anything is better than the standard American diet. So
Yeah. Even
though it's a fad and it's popular, it's still better than what we're consuming on a daily basis, which is unrefined calories, sugars that are predisposing us to diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, affecting our children and possibly being a risk factor for ADHD, and then, you know, high blood sugar and even above 110 for increasing risk of dementia later in life. So
someone had posted a challenge online, said, try, you know, see how long you can go without eating anything that's processed. And it's like, man, that is hard to do. You know, it's difficult to, in the course of the day, avoid processed food altogether.
Yeah, it's very hard. And that's why I actually appreciate some of these studies when I look at. They looked at studies that people add meal replacements, and there was an average weight loss of about 8 pounds, and people kept it off if you had two meal replacements to a meal. Because I know, and I mentioned this in the book I wrote, people live in a fast-paced world. You have kids, you have soccer practice, you have PTA meetings, you have physical social obligations. You're busy. We live in America, and there's not enough hours in the day to cook for yourself and do that. So in the book, I added lean cuisines and Weight Watcher formulas and stuff like that. It's easy recipes where you're not sitting there cooking by the stove. And people always ask me the question, well, it's really expensive to buy that stuff, you know, where you can go to McDonald's and buy something cheap. And I said, it might be a little bit more expensive, but when you spend $50,000 to $100,000 for the heart attack you'll have
Yeah. In
the next 10 years, it's relatively cheaper. So
Yeah. It's
just perspective. You know, fruits are not that expensive, and vegetables
Right. Are
not that expensive. And I tell my patients that see me in the weight loss clinic, I can't lose weight. And some of the stuff, I'll talk to them. I said, well, what do you eat throughout the day? Well, I eat vegetables and I eat fruits, and they have a healthy diet. And then I said, what else do you snack on? Any candy? They're like, oh, yeah, Starburst. I eat 2-3 of the Starburst daily, big packets. These are very fit patients, very well-informed and work out. And
yeah.
I said, you know, Starburst has a lot of saturated fat in there. And they just looked at me appalled with their eyes wide open. They said, it's got fat. I thought it was all sugar. And I said, no, it's fat. And when they looked at it, and you're getting about 3 to 4 grams of fat from different flavors of Starburst plus the carbohydrates, it adds up.
Yeah.
And what I also mentioned to my patients, where the biggest trick is and how people can't succeed in weight loss, is these diet dressings. They really get you. Salad dressings. You can go to Zaxby's and get a salad with pours of dressing. It's a 1,000-calorie salad. There's no better than you getting a Big Mac. And that's the biggest misconception, because people think they're eating healthy. They're getting salads with pouring down ranch, which every tablespoon of fat is about 120 calories. So you get 5 to 7 to 8 tablespoons or 1,300 calories with the salad of romaine lettuce and tomatoes you have in there. So I think people don't know about that. You know, if you give them a calories that's 20 calories per tablespoon, it's a lot more.
Yeah.
Better for the weight loss goal. And then with these fad diets, and you might have heard this before too, people always say, lose 25 pounds, buy this book, or lose 30 pounds, or lose 40 pounds. I don't think that's, you know, right to say that, to make such a claim, because it's not healthy to lose more than 1 to 2 kilograms per week. It's just not healthy. If you're losing more, or anybody says more, it's got to be either medically supervised or they're just lying to you. You're not losing true fat.
Right.
You're just losing a lot of water weight and you're depriving body of nutrients. And people always talk about 800 calorie diet, 500 calorie diet. As a science major and evidence based, you need 1200 calories to get all the nutrients in a day. It's not humanly possible to be less than 1200 calories a day,
right,
to get all the nutrients, vitamins, and minerals. So anybody that says you need to be on a lower diet, unless it's monitored by a physician or health experts for various medical conditions, should not be attempting that.
You were talking about the dressing and how you kind of fool yourself. I was talking with a guy who was also a nutritionist, and he was talking about those sports energy bar things, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, people that are healthy and active and working out and all this stuff will eat these energy bar things. And he goes, if you flip that over and you go grab like a Snickers bar and you flip that over and you look at them, they're almost identical.
It's just identical.
Yeah, it's just a candy bar in a healthy wrapper, basically.
And those are exactly what you need. If you're a marathon runner, you want a power bar,
sure,
Snickers bar, because you want those immediate carbs. You're going to burn it off.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you don't need those extra calories. And I think the biggest problem with the weight loss misconceptions, the public is not informed. They read a blog, or they'll read a news report, it'll say Mediterranean diet, it's healthy for you, and they have a misconception. Health does not also mean weight loss. You know, I have family in the Mediterranean, they live in Greece, and they're all obese, but are they healthy? Technically, yeah, they're healthy, their cholesterol, everything is good. But if you're trying to do weight loss, doesn't mean health is at the utmost concern. Usually they go hand in hand. Yeah. A perfect example is if you go to Macaroni Grill or Olive Garden, any of these Italian restaurants, Carrabba's, and people usually get the oil with the bread. So if the oil is broken down in its unprocessed form, it's going to go straight into your fat cells. I mean, they've done studies where you can do electron microscopy, look at your adipose tissue, and they can tell where the fat came from. So when you eat an oil and you dip in bread, that's 120 calories. And it doesn't control your satiety centers. Now, where they've done the studies, when they say fat helps with satiety, those are fats that are broken down. Your body can digest them. They have fiber in them, like beans, legumes, and nuts, walnuts in particular, they've done studies on. So when you're putting already processed oil in its unnatural form that your body just automatically absorbs into fat, it actually burns 3 calories per that 120 calories you just ate, versus if you ate it in its raw form, it'll burn to about 90 calories out of the 120 calories you made. Isn't that how amazing that is? So if I ate olives, I would have got the same amount of calories, but my body's going to burn off 97 to 110 calories for energy. But if I just ate a tablespoon of that, it's only going to burn 3 calories for energy.
Wow.
And so you get the bread and you get the oil before you got your meal. So your satiety centers are not fulfilled because it's broken down to its oil form. So now you got 3,500 calories. You got a pound before you even got your main course and you don't feel full.
Right.
So
you're still hungry. This is amazing stuff. And you have a book, and do you have a program as well that you help folks through your website kind of understand this stuff and get on this right path?
That is correct. I have a book. It's a program. I co-authored it with the late, great J.T. Cooper. He actually passed away in 2013, but he was actually the original author. He was a bariatric physician, wrote 11 books on dieting. His actual first book, if anybody who's a little bit older listener, was The Fabulous Fructose Diet. It was the same time that the Scottsdale diet came out. So the whole diet was premised on fructose because, you know, fructose does not need insulin to be released. So it actually doesn't affect diabetic patients, and they can have fructose. So the whole diet was, well, I can eat fructose, which is naturally in fruits, and I won't gain weight. I'll actually lose weight because it doesn't affect your blood sugars. And so that was his first book back in 1979. It's so long ago.
Yeah.
And then he also wrote a textbook. That was one of the authors. And the other authors are Sharon Cooper. She's actually the state representative for Georgia, works on the Health and Human Services Committee. She's the chairwoman. And she's a psychiatric nurse by trade, and she wrote – so she helped the behavioral aspect, the weight loss, and she was obese herself. If you actually read the book, you can get the snap introduction. She talks about how her husband – her first husband left her because she was overweight, and so she got remarried. met Dr. Cooper and, you know, helped write this book. And it sold, this book sold over a million copies.
Wow.
And since the 90s. This is the fourth edition. And so I was honored to be to come on as additional author to re-edit the book. I was actually writing my own book. I was just so compelled after reading it, and I thought it was such great, you know, advice. And the last one was published in 96, so it's a little outdated, 15 years, but I updated it all. So
well, I mean, if it works, it works, right?
It works, and it's published. So all yeah. There's patients that was published International Journal of Obesity, and it's based on the premise of the exchange system, and that's been around for 50 years, and that's what Weight Watchers is. You know, it works. The difference is you don't have to pay for the points. I teach you how to do yourself. So
yeah.
After you figure it out, a deck of cards is this, about 4 ounces of meat. You can kind of just create your own exchange system, your own plan, and get fun and creative with it. And it works. There's plenty of fat diets, Nutrisystem. Does it work? Yes, it works. But once you stop eating the meal plans, you're going to gain all the way back. It's not sustainable. There's the Dukin diet, which is out in France. It's the same thing as the Atkins diet, which is the same thing as the Paleo diet, which is the same thing as the Zone diet. It's the same thing as the South Beach diet. It's almost a trend. Every couple of years, I feel like they change the name, but it's the same concept, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, if you think about, like, Atkins was a big – he was big into the whole meat, protein, no carb thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which has just been reinvented as paleo and this, that, and the other thing. So,
yeah, but I'm and you probably get this a lot, Steve, is that people base popularity on what? One, how many, if it's a New York Times bestseller, if it's Amazon bestseller. Two, if everybody else is doing it and it goes viral. Or three, it goes with their diet habits that they're already eating. So, you know, you come out with a book like that, which is just pretty much a standard American diet, and you can eat all the meat you want, then of course it's going to be a popular seller. But, you know, sometimes the non-popular books are the ones that are giving you the truth and the ones that people need to be doing versus these dangerous fad diets. And I don't even like the word diet. I mean, if I would have to change the name of the book, it's a program, it's a lifestyle, it's a guideline. And diet comes into perspective when – it's a time period. So I say, yeah, there's a slimming phase part of my book where you lose the weight, and then the maintenance phase is the rest of your life. You
right.
know, and you just kind of keep it. And like you said, you need diet, physical activity, and you need behavioral modification, because if you don't change the behaviors, then nothing's going to help you. You can go back on the diet.
Right. You'll be right back where you are.
Yo-yo diet and have health problems. You know?
If we wanted to get a copy of your book, can they get it right on your site?
Then get it right on my site. It directs them to either Amazon, IndieBound, Barnes & Nobles. There's a hardbook copy that's coming out this week, a paperback, a Kindle version.
Yep.
I'm coming out with the audiobook next week, because I realize some of my listeners just say we don't have time, or they're on the road, or they're truck drivers. So if I can provide them with the audio, it's not going to be on the audio. I don't think I have the voice that's worth listening to, but one of our actresses is going to help us do it. So I'm looking forward to that. And it's really not about the monetary value. It's just more about helping people out. We self-published his book. The original publisher went out of business, so we self-published it. It's a fourth edition, and we just do it to help people. And it's listed under low cholesterol diet, which is a list of low cholesterol, and then high protein. It's high protein. When I say high protein diet, it's about 15% of the diet. The fat is about 20% to 10%, and then the rest are carbohydrates. I'm still a big believer in carbohydrates. I know there's so many books out that say carbs are bad and this is bad, but I believe that complex carbohydrates work. Our whole society, the generations, even now, staple foods in China, all they eat is carbohydrates.
Right.
And they're all skinnier than the other parts of the world. So carbohydrates do work. I feel like the processed, unrefined sugars don't. The simple carbohydrates are bad. The high fructose corn syrup. Do you know this is interesting? High fructose corn syrup is bad for you. It's the same way it's processed as sugar. You know how much it costs to change that in the United States? One cent to change it to something different. And they don't want – I have no reason why they don't want to do it, but it costs a penny difference to change it to something else.
Yeah.
And because, you know, corn – If you have popcorn, just popped corn, it's a low carbohydrate dish.
Yeah.
Give it to some of our diabetic patients. Low popcorn, because of the air content in there, it's got low carb.
Yeah.
But as soon as you make it to high fructose corn syrup, it's just as bad as pure raw sugar.
And that stuff is in everything. It's crazy.
And people don't know it's an actual frozen packaged meals too. So you'll get a meal, high fructose corn syrup. So you're thinking, I'm going to eat this chicken teriyaki, or I'm going to eat this, you know, Smart Bowl, one of those healthy choice meals. And you look on the back of it, it says high fructose corn syrup. There's so much misinformation out there. You don't know who to listen to. Just hear one day you hear drink moderate amount of alcohol is good for your heart. 2 days later, article came out, moderate alcohol also increased risk for liver failure. That makes sense. You're drinking.
Yeah.
It's going to help the heart hurt the liver. And then they came out with another study. In your mid-50s, drinking alcohol increased your risk for stroke. So everything that has a risk has a benefit on the other end, you know?
Yeah, right. It goes back to what you were saying at the beginning. It's a lot of these things come down to moderation, right? You just got to be smart about
moderation.
You can't go all one way or all the other way.
And I guess if I'd have to give three simple things to advice to the listeners who are listening, I would say, what three things can you do right away that can help you with the weight loss and their lifestyle changing?
Yeah.
I would say, one, eat breakfast.
Yep.
And that's research after research. Eat breakfast. If you don't eat breakfast, and if I even encourage patients, make it the worst meal of your day because you have the whole day to burn it off. Now, this is different if you have a sedentary lifestyle or if you're, you know, you work at home. But most of the time, I say eat whatever you want, have the worst meal you have in the morning because you have the whole day to burn it off. Eat breakfast. That's important. Two, eat six meals a day, three main meals with three snacks in between. Those are two important things you can do. Physical activity helps to prevent dementia, helps in maintenance weight loss. Those three things, and then be spiritual or have some type of, you know, spiritualness saying that you're not depressed, you're not anxious, because there's a whole host of issues that cause weight gain, you know. Those three things right away you can do. Eat
that's
five
great.
Or six meals, that's going to increase your metabolism right away. And what I tell my patients is, and it actually works, I says, if you eat more, that means your body has to spend all day burning that energy. So that 2,000 calories you ate, 800 of those calories you had to digest because it requires energy. It's almost like that saying, if you go get a tan outside in the beach, do you ever feel tired when you leave the beach, Steve?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And when you're sunburnt, well, you burn. It's a first-degree burn. Your body needs a lot of energy. So you're actually using a lot of calories, a lot of calories to repair that. I'm not telling people to go get tan to lose weight, but you do burn a lot of calories. And I said, same thing with digestion. It'll take the blood away and use it for your GI system so you can burn those calories to digest the food. So all that automatically increase your metabolism, increase your metabolic rate, and will help you lose weight in the process. And then a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
For the hormonal levels, a good night's sleep. And I'm not making this stuff up. They did a study with people who slept anywhere from 5 to 7 hours, didn't lose that much weight. For people who slept 7 to 9 hours. And it makes sense, Steve, because you actually burn more calories when you're sleeping. Me and you talking right now might burn 60, 70 calories. If we're sleeping, we're burning 80 to 90, depending on our body weight. So you're actually burning a lot more calories when you're sleeping. So, and your hormonal levels get adjusted and your cortisol levels. So sleep is very important.
Gotta love all that. Well, that's great. Eddie, I really appreciate you coming on the show. It's great. And I love these three tips. Eat breakfast, six meals a day, and get that physical activity, be happy, and get a good night's sleep, right?
Correct.
It's kind of five, I guess, but
I guess it works. To 3 to 5.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. Well, Eddie, thank you again for being on the show. It's awesome. I will have a link to your site in the show notes so folks can click on that, head over there. You've got an awesome blog. Your book is there. They can contact you if they have any questions, that sort of thing.
Thank you so much for having me. I think you have a great show, and you know, thanks for letting the listeners know and, you know, kind of spreading the word of a healthy lifestyle. And I feel with people like us, we can just kind of get a lot more people healthier in this society.
Okay, it's time for the Sassy Girl Exercise Tune-Up with my good friend, fitness instructor, Jessica Bailey. Jessica is back to help you tune up some of your favorite exercises so you can get the maximum benefit from the time you put in. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Hi. I'm glad to be back.
Awesome. It's great to have you. So what are we talking about this week?
So this week we're talking about the push-up.
Okay.
And I want to talk about the head position.
Hmm.
Because I see this all of the time when I'm teaching. And people like look down at their feet or their waist, or they just like let their head drop when they're doing a push-up. And it just looking at it is stressful. So I can only imagine the stress on the neck and getting the shoulder out of alignment that you're feeling. So don't do that. Don't look up and don't look out too far. Don't look down at your feet.
Yeah.
Keep your head in a neutral position for proper alignment. No wrinkles in the back of your head.
No wrinkles. I love it. That's great. That is a weird position. I don't think I've ever done that before.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad that you've never done that before. Yeah, I've seen some very odd things.
I guess so. I do have wrinkles in the back of my head, but I don't think it's from that.
Well, natural wrinkles are fine. But
okay.
If you are like doing something weird with your head, don't.
Just stop.
Right. And and the whole idea is, you like you were saying, you want to keep it yourself in kind of a straight line when you're doing your push-ups.
Yeah. So think like your neck is an extension of your spine. So keep it in an extension of your spine. Don't do anything weird. You know, when you're like getting your neck out of alignment, you can feel it. Doesn't feel good. Pull it back. Retract your chin a little bit and you'll be good.
Excellent. Well, that's a great one. Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
As always, that was a great tip. You can get more awesome tips like this on Jessica's site at sassygirlfitnessnyc.com. So today we learned that if you're currently skipping breakfast and binge eating at night, you're on the sumo diet. Real sustainable weight loss is possible, but it's about creating a lifestyle that you can maintain. Eat breakfast, 6 healthy meals a day. Be active, happy, get your sleep. I want to thank Dr. Eddie for coming on the show and sharing his powerful information with you and I today. I'm going to have links in today's show notes for his website where you can get more information, you can get in touch with him, you can get his book. I also want to thank you for listening to the show and being part of the Outside Health and Fitness community. If you haven't yet, sign up for our weekly newsletter while you're on the site. You'll get that exclusive Outside Health and Fitness articles, resources, and my morning Tabata routine as a special thank you. So stop by outsidehealthandfitness.com/114 for all of the links and resources we talked about today. Thanks again for listening to the show, and I'll see you outside.